Welcome, massage friends. You're here at the Massage Therapy Podcast. I'm Nicole Andrews, registered massage therapist, contemporary medical acupuncturist, and I am here with Heather.
Hi, I'm Heather, massage therapist with a background in kinesiology. Welcome to another podcast. We have another special guest and another special guest from Australia. We're super excited. Apparently they love us in Australia. So welcome, Alicia. Alicia reached out to us through our email. She too is a massage therapist. She's a business coach, an author, and is now a mentor to a bunch of therapists worldwide. We'll get into what she does there, but she shares tactics in her background of building her business over, I believe she was like the last 16 years or so. Mm-hmm. And how she went from a one-room small business to now I believe she has a team under her and working with a whole bunch of people and see hundreds of clients a week. Welcome, Alicia. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's so lovely to be talking to you guys today.
Perfect. Well, first I wanted to point out, I didn't point this out off mic yet, but I love your t-shirt. It says, but first massage.
Yes, I love it.
Of course. Perfect podcasting massage t-shirt.
Absolutely.
Yes, perfect. So let's jump into it. And let's start, Alicia, with like maybe a bit of your background, starting like what brought you to massage and to go to massage school, and how was your experience through massage school?
I got into massage pretty early. So I was diagnosed with scoliosis at 13. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was diagnosed, it was already too severe for a back brace. So I was put on a waiting list for surgery. Mm-hmm. And so for 2 years, while it progressively got worse, massage was a big part of my journey and a big part of my life. It wasn't just that she would relieve pain, which was amazing, but it was also how she made me feel as a teenager who didn't look like her friends. To be able to connect with me and make me feel really comfortable with who I am, it was just a really beautiful space that I felt. I really loved massage and really loved the experience it gave me. So I left school early, high school early, and went and got a full-time job so that I could pay for my massage course, and then went and studied massage. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely loved it. It was a beautiful college. It was a private college. It was right when here in Australia we have a national qualification now, and it was right when that was starting to come in. And I was able to study there for 2 years, and it was just fantastic. I really enjoyed a lot of what we learned. There wasn't a lot of the business side of things. There was a lot of hands-on. And I think even what we were taught back then is now sort of a lot of post-grad stuff that a lot of students now have to go and learn elsewhere. So I feel really blessed when I look back at my own education, just go, oh, it was so good. We had some really great teachers. One guy was a physio, and he had studied physio and massage at the same time. And He didn't like being a physio. He didn't like what they did. So it was kind of fun to be a little bit of a rebel. Going to massage is better than physio. It's like, oh, that's, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but it was just a really great experience to learn about the human body and how it all works.
Perfect. And what's school like? So for instance, here in Ontario, you can do a private school similar to what you're speaking about, which I attended, or what a college, a traditional college, which Nicole went to straight out of high school. But doesn't matter where you go, you need 2,200 hours before you can even apply to do your, what we call OSCE and MCQ, which is your written and your practical exam to get your registration. What's that process like in Australia?
So in Australia, we don't have any, you don't have to have any licensing or anything like that, unfortunately. Okay. So we have, you can have a certificate of massage, a diploma of massage, or an advanced diploma, which is called myotherapy, or you can do a biomedical degree and have it as a myotherapist as well. So there's no real standardization, and literally anybody in Australia can call themselves a massage therapist. In order to get insurance and to have private health insurance rebates, you have to be part of an association, and of course to be part of an association you have to be qualified. So we certainly have a scope of practice, but we don't have a standardized way of educating people, which means that everybody comes out with the same qualification, but it's taught very differently, even between different therapists and colleges, but similar in that we have private colleges still and sort of TAFEs and things like that. So I worked at a TAFE, but I studied at a private college, and it's, yeah, it's, I think there's a lot of people who would love to see, like, you have to sit at an exam at the end to then be able to say, yes, you know what, I am qualified, because I think there would be an amazing standardization. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we'll get that here. If we do, it's going to take a lot of work and a long time. Right. We won't get classed as part of like APRA, which is sort of like a physio or a chiro and things like that, mainly because we're too safe. We don't kill enough people, so they won't let us be licensed because we're too gentling what we do.
Yes, right. Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of like our unregulated provinces,
Alberta,
Alberta and Saskatchewan and a few others. Mm-hmm. So very similar, it sounds like. So perfect. So you graduated from massage school and got your certificate or diploma or
diploma. Yeah.
Diploma. There you go. And then what was it when you entered the massage field? What did it look like for you?
Well, I worked from my lounge room on Family and Friends, you know, and I only charged $25 cash. And I remember I put out my first, I did a letterbox drop. Like, of course, that's the first thing everyone, you know, well, certainly we used to do back in the day, is we do a letterbox drop. And I had one guy call me and I was like, I didn't even know how to answer the phone. I literally bombed on answering the phone because I wasn't prepared for someone actually calling me. To be fair, it's about the only time anyone ever called from any letterbox drop I ever did. And I didn't even actually get up to book him in. So I just worked on Family and Friends from home, and I knew a chiropractor, and I kind of said to him, hey, you know, would you be interested in renting out a room? And he was like, yeah, okay, what are you looking for? And I'm like, I don't know. So we just ended up working there as a contractor, sort of paying a percentage. And it was amazing. They were a really well-established business. So I got to work for them, you know, alongside them for about 3 years. And I'm so grateful for what I learned, because they were brilliant at rebooking. They had like systemization to the hilt. I think he'd almost systemized connection out of anything so that he didn't have to talk to people, because he was a high introvert, pretty different to me, because I'm like, hey, look at all the things, blah, blah, blah. So I don't think I always, you know, we didn't necessarily always gel, but it was certainly a really amazing opportunity to learn and grow from somebody who'd been in business a long time. However, it took me a really long time to get any clients, because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I just wanted to help people. Like, I knew massage worked, I could see how good it was, but I didn't know anything that I needed to do. So I actually went and worked at a day spa, sort of ended up working down there full time. So I was 5 days a week at the day spa, 2 days a week at the chiropractic clinic as I was building. Then when I nearly burnt myself out, because it's a 45-minute drive to the the day spa, and it was like, okay, that's enough. And, you know, I ended up in tears, and my manager was like, I think we need to talk about this. When was your last day off? I'm like, I don't remember. So I ended up, you know, cutting back my days at the day spa so that I could still treat, and I kind of sort of scooched my way up to 4 days, 5 days a week, and then left the day spa. So it was kind of a nice, easy progression from one to the other over a long period of time. Then we decided to go and do a season at the snow. We have some baby hills here in Victoria, which they're nothing compared to you guys, but let's just, you know, we do have snow here. And we did a season up there. It was amazing. We had a really good season when we were there. It was like 2 meters of snow. That's almost unheard of in Australia. Again, nothing compared to you guys, but we loved it. And when I came back to the chiropractic clinic, my business was dead. There was no clients left. I'd left a couple of contractors in charge. I hadn't trained them up. There was no systems in place. There was no, this is how we do it here, nothing. And I'm like, great. So I've spent 3 years building this business, and now I've come back to absolutely nothing. And it's like, oh, that just sucks. So I had to kind of get it going. And I think that's when I started learning. You know, that's when I really started going, well, I don't want to have to go work somewhere else. I want this to be my full-time thing. I know I've done it in the past, so I can get them back. So I did this deal that was like, buy one massage, get your second one free for all of my regulars. And just sent that out and was like, yeah, that's great. And they all came back in, and it meant that I worked for a month for free. And that was a really dumb idea. I thought, well, if that worked, maybe I could do one massage, get your second one half price as a referral strategy. So all of my clients are being home to their friends. You've got to go see Leash. You've got to go see Leash. It's a really good idea. We're like, here, have this. It's a piece of paper. Take it and bring it in and she'll see. So I ended up doubling my client base within the next couple of months because that worked really, really well. I don't think that it would have worked that well had I've just started, but it worked that well because I already had momentum and I had already built rapport with these clients. And so they'd often said to their friends, you've got to go see, you've got to go see. And that was just the final, okay, fine, I will. You've been telling me about it for ages. I'll go. Yeah. So that was kind of my first marketing experience that I didn't even know what I was doing, but I'm like, working for free sucked, working for half price was better because I was telling them what I wanted them to do, which was see me for more than one session. And it then kind of started to work, and by the time the next snow season rolled around, we decided not to go back to the snow, but I would rent my own space. And I think that's when I really started working for myself. You know, within 12 months I hired, and within about 3 years we had five staff all working out of one treatment room doing split shifts. And
oh my god,
I still didn't really know what I was doing, but my husband's a digital marketer. So although I did all my own marketing, the conversations we had over the dinner table pre-kids when we could actually get a word in was amazing because we learned lots of – I learned really great things about marketing and consistency and branding and speaking the right message to the right people and things that I didn't mean to be successful, but it was certainly something that the reason that we were super successful and seeing so many clients was because, first of all, we just had great staff, and secondly, because I was just following a lot of the things that James just always did and always taught his clients as well.
Wow, that's so cool. So in 3 years you grew, and I'm sure Nicole's ears perked up at this too, with the, you had five of you sharing one office. Oh, there's two of us sharing one office.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine five. How did you make that busy. Work?
It was split shift. So we'd do 8 in the morning till 2, and then we'd do 2:15 till about 8 or 9 at night.
That makes
and
sense.
It, look, it was great because it meant you could either have a sleep in or you were done mid-afternoon and you could go and do whatever you liked. So it meant everybody had the hours they want. Not everyone worked every day, but we would see between 30 to 50 clients throughout the week, again, without even trying. Like it just kind of, it was really, really fun. I look back and I'm just going, oh my gosh, why did we move? Like it was such a good thing. But it was very busy. Like it was very, very, very busy. And they would have, had we have stayed much longer, we would have definitely started to see cracks forming because it was just too much out of one treatment room. But it certainly worked for a season.
Oh, for sure. And so from there, where do you see your, or where is your practice looking like now? What's it look like?
Well, I actually have sold my practice now. So I sold my practice about 5 years ago, mainly because I couldn't manage a team, see 25 clients a week, and work with people all over the world. As much as I like to think I'm Superman, Superwoman sometimes, it's not quite possible to do that and have balance at any level. So the next, like I ended up scaling, so I scaled my clinic up. We moved across the road where I had three treatment rooms, a reception area. I had 9 staff at one point. Where we had 2 admins and 5 therapists, and it was a really like amazing 5-year period where we were seeing over 100 clients a week. We had 17 new clients every week. We had an 85% rebooking rate across our team. The team certainly changed quite a lot over the time. We in Australia the laws changed and we had to go from contract to employment because it was legally the only way we were allowed to have a team. And the pay rate was totally different. And so we lost a lot of staff in, you know, a 3-week period. I lost 5 of my staff members. And it was like, oh, that was so painful because some of them, you know, I'd known them before they got engaged or before they got married and when they had their babies. And it was like, oh, that was so tough. And then we kind of got more staff in who were willing to work as casuals, which worked really well. And then eventually I'm like, okay, well, I think it's time that I was having business coaching. And I loved it, and I was learning so much about culture and about above the line, below the line thinking and being responsible for every result and non-result in our lives and learning all this amazing mindset stuff. And I'm like, someone needs to teach this to massage therapists. And someone one day just said to me, and why not it be you? And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I suppose I could do that. I hadn't really thought about it. It just kind of like often things happen. I don't know if you guys ever do this where you're like, we look back retrospectively and connect the dots. Absolutely. We don't always notice it in the moment.
Yes.
But I look back on everything, like particularly when we lost the staff in that, probably the 3 weeks of that happening and then the 6 months after that as we kind of had to build loyalty with our client base again and establish a bunch of new therapists and hire the right people and all that kind of stuff. That's where I learned, that's the hardest times that I had in business, but it's also where I learned the most around how to help people when they're struggling, because it wasn't easy. It certainly wasn't what I intended. Everything had gone smoothly up until that point, and all of a sudden it was like, you know, we hit a wall and it was really challenging. And what I got to learn about myself and how to help people through challenging situations is what I learned in that moment. And I think that's really important, that our mess often becomes our message. And I'm, like I often say, I'm not a coach because we did everything right. I'm a coach because I made a bunch of mistakes and I learned from them, and eventually we got it right to make it profitable and to make it work and make it successful and have more balance and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Perfect.
That's awesome. I just wanted to say that's 100% true. And starting my own clinic, exact same experience, working at a bunch of different places, making a bunch of different mistakes. Oddly enough, as your husband worked in digital marketing, my husband, when I started my clinic, worked for a big advertising company here in Canada, and he did the same thing for me. He would tell me, you need to be on Google Business, you need to use these like certain words out there in your advertising. Like, he gave me the whole thing. He set up my whole website. He was the reason I have like my whole URL. Like, he did it all for me. I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew is that I needed to be out on my own. At the time, it was just not jiving where I was working. I just was butting heads with them, and I wanted to grow. And they were growing, but in them growing, it was taking away time from the room I was in. We were doing split shifts too, but it was starting to be too crowded for me. So I ended up leaving. And then, yeah, he did the same thing. That's funny that we have the sort of same story and background in that kind of way. And then I worked there for quite a while, and then Heather showed up in a very unexpected way, as a lot of our user, like our listeners know. She came in as a client first. So it was kind of funny because I wasn't necessarily looking to grow. I had someone renting from me because I went on a maternity leave, and that was just out of the ability, like need to want, like have someone paying some of my bills while I was off with babies. And then, yeah, Heather, oddly enough, showed up just at the right moment. She did some work. She decided to come back in, and I didn't have space for her when she decided to come back into the profession. But literally within weeks of her getting her licensing back, the renter, the RMT that was renting for me, told me that he was moving out of town. And I had just happened to be like, I think I know someone who might want to come in. And I was like, hey, Heather, no pressure. The room opened up. Do you want some time? And she was like, yes, absolutely. And I look back at all of those dots, and it's like, I was so anxious about the person I had in my space leaving because we were so comfortable and we worked so easy like together. But it definitely worked out way better than I could imagine with like Heather coming in. Yes. Aww, sending thanks. All the love. So, and through all of those years, like all of the like mistakes or the, oh, that was not very good, because I did something similar, and then I sent it out to clients that I had saying like, if you come in, you can get like a massage for free. And yeah, working for free is not fantastic, especially when you're first starting out and what you need is actual income to pay the bills up front. So I made that exact same sort of gesture to clients. Yeah, no, that's interesting. I resonated with that like whole story completely. What I
it's
do
a
find
really common.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
It's really interesting how often I think this happens, that when we start to talk about it, how similar stories can be, because this happens so many times when I'm talking to therapists and like, oh, you do. Like there's this hushed whisper that's like, yeah, this, I did this really well, but I didn't mean it. It kind of happened by accident. But also, I made these mistakes. I just don't want to tell people that I made these mistakes.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, when we actually discuss them, it's like, you know, we're so much more similar than we realize.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting common thread that like, even in Australia versus Canada, and we've talked to people in the States, like business is not something that any of us are taught, even though I'm not sure. I'm just going to throw out a number. Like 90% of us are all like contracted or self-employed. You know what I mean? Like, or out on our own completely. Like, it's an interesting thing that it's not a part of our business, like any of our education. Whereas like, if you look at like physios and chiropractors and them, like they do have like quite a big business piece to their education. So yeah, when you had messaged us and all of that, we were both like, yes, we need to have you on, because we know so many of our listeners definitely feel the same way, like totally lost. They get out and they're like, I have all these skills and hands on want to help, but like no actual way to get their hands on bodies, because they don't even know how to contact people to come in. So
So now you do, Alicia, more, you said, coaching all over the world. Is it more one-on-one? Do you have courses that people, like online courses people can sign up for? How does that look now?
So yeah, when I first stepped into coaching, I wanted to be able to work with, like, I wanted to be able to scale what I was doing, because I'd worked one-on-one with people for 16 years and I'm like, awesome, love it. Also don't necessarily wanted to coach my competition at the time, you know, like Ocean Grove, there's about 13,000 people and there's 35 massage therapists already. If I was teaching someone down the road in the next town, I'd probably be okay with that. But I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. So I was like, how can I scale this? Mm-hmm. And I just started looking, coaching for coaches, because I'm like, you know, and all this stuff came out about life coaching and stuff. I'm like, I'm sure that's all wonderful, but I don't want that. I want to know, how do I scale what I know? Mm-hmm. And I did actually find someone who helped me. So I ended up creating an online course and just kind of mapping it out and going, well, what did I actually do if I had to condense that, you know, kind of 11 years that I was just out there floundering, doing my own thing and kind of getting some, you know, hit and miss, getting some stuff right and the other stuff not right. And so I created an online course where we help people who are seeing kind of a handful of clients a week, maybe 5 to 10 clients a week, and kind of get to that magical 25 clients a week, if that's their goal. Because I think that everybody has, I just intuitively think everyone knows the number of clients they want to see. I know for me, any more than 23, and I was a bubbling mess. Like 25 is our standard that we say, but it's not necessarily the be all and end all. So basically we help people to be able to do that by just looking at, well, what were the strategies that I put into place? What worked? You know, what did I learn from digital marketing, and what did I learn from mindset, and what did I learn from Facebook, and what marketing strategies did work that I could teach therapists? So what can you do in a quiet week? Because we all know we have them. Even if you're smashing out, you're always going to have a week where 10 people, 15 people cancel, and you look around and go, what's wrong with me? And you tighten your policies and procedures. And yeah, we just have one of those weeks, right? And so I think what I love to be able to do is, it's a pretty intense course, and I didn't realize it because I'm a bit of a type A personality. Just like, you ask me to do something, if I think it's important and I can see why, it'll just get done. That's just how I roll. And so I'm like, I'll just give them all the things. What I didn't realize is that I was kind of fire hosing them with probably more information than need. It was 6 days a week. It was just a whole heap of stuff. But what I do love is that at the end of it, they're never going to sit there going, I don't know what I can do now. Like, there's never going to be a time where they're like, oh, I just can't, I just don't know what to do. I'm twiddling my thumbs, I'm navel gazing, and I'm freaking out. At least if you know you've got 25 things you can do in a quiet week, you have things that you have the opportunity to do if you choose. And I think that seemed to empower therapists so much more, so that if they're having a quiet week, or if they move, or if they get kicked out of their rental place, or if they bring on board a new team member, at least they know the things they can do to actually attract new clients in, and then what to do to retain them and have them come back, even if it's not every week or every, you know, twice a week or anything like that, but it might be once a month or once every 6 weeks or once every 8 weeks, just to have those regulars coming through so the bulk of their books are filled and they're getting to do what it is that they love. They're getting to take that message of what they do in the treatment room and take that out to others, so that, you know, your community gets what you do before they even come in, rather than you treat them and they come out going, oh, I get it now. It's like, what we want to do is better teach them, how do you get that experience so that it makes someone book in, not necessarily just make someone rebook. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. Yes, it does.
100%. Mm-hmm. And like I'm saying, I'm feeling that right now. So I've been practicing just over 2 years. You're just over 12 years.
Yes.
So our practices look different stages, even though physically it's in the same space. And I'm very grateful for Nicole, because she does push any like cold calls to her. If she can't get them in, she pushes them, kind of like, go speak to Heather. She probably has openings. But like you're saying too, you're having these quiet weeks. These last, so right now my average is usually 10 or 12 to 13 appointments a week. And my goal, like going back to what you said, you crunch the numbers and I was like 24 clients a week, like 24 hours hands-on. That doesn't also necessarily mean 24 clients, just 24 hours hands-on. And then now that I'm at like 13, 14, I'm like, maybe 18 hours.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's bring down, maybe I'll eventually get to that higher goal, but like, let's do this in stages, right? Like hit one goal and then, okay, if I feel good, then we'll set the next goal and the next goal and whatever. But these last 2 weeks, I've seen five appointments each week. And I think it's just the time of year because, again, me, I'm a little bit like you, Alicia, type A personality. If I say I'm going to do something, it gets done. But I'm also big on keeping charts and stats and things like that, not to obsess over them, but to just be able to reflect on. So this year, because we're talking the 2 weeks around Labor Day weekend here in Ontario, Canada. So the week before, yeah, it was very quiet. And I went back last year's stuff and the year before, and it was quiet those weeks too. So what my plan might be next year is that might be the week I take off during the summer instead and push people into the other weeks. So then it fills those weeks up. And again, our clinic isn't that far from my house, like 4 kilometers from my house. So that it's not an inconvenience to go in for one or two people, but it's the mindset. It's the energy shift that you need to do for yourself to get into work mode, into massage mode. Sometimes I go in and I'm just like, oh man, this is inconvenient. Why am I here? Da, da, da. But then as soon as the first person like gets on the table, I'm like, oh, this is why I'm here. This is my happy place. I love this place. I feel so good. And like all this stuff. But yeah, I think having those stages and those goals are very important, but also I resonate with you in the sense of like, I feel like I'm in that zone of I need something to shift, whether it's mindset, marketing strategies, something needs to shift to get me over this plateau. And right now I was also giving myself a hard time because I reduced my buffer time between appointments from 30 minutes to 15. We increased to 30 because of COVID, but now I'm going back to 15. And so that also makes my schedule look a whole lot emptier. Because I have more time and I'm getting hard on myself for it. But I'm like, wait, no, I've given myself more time. So now how am I going to go out and get those people to come and fill those spots? So I totally resonate with that, that just something needs to shift to get over that plateau. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think in business we have seasons and I don't think this gets talked about very often or acknowledged that we have summer, winter, fall, you know, autumn, spring. And wintertime in our business is, and this is what data is brilliant for, Heather, absolutely brilliant, because you can look back and go, oh my gosh, yeah, play the really I'm super hard on myself card, and I promise you, you're not the only one. We have a dodgy week and all of a sudden every doubt we possibly have seems to fill our appointment slots that are available, yeah? But data is really powerful, and it's super powerful because you can look in to make those decisions. And I remember one of my clients saying to me, oh, what's your quietest month? And I'm like, oh, August, because for us that's springtime and it's when all of our retirees are going north where it's warm, good on them, and they're also our babysitters. So we just knew that was the time. They would migrate all north over winter, but they would all be there for the month of August. And one of my clients goes, oh, do you take holidays then? And I'm like, well, that's a really clever idea, isn't it? Yeah, yes. I might do that next year. And it's the same with December. I call them Tetris bookings. Like you'll see a similar amount of people, but the way that it sits at the start of the week is never the way that it sits by the end of the week, because people come 3 days early, they come 4 hours late, I need to change. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I'm at lunch with the ladies, like having champagne, like it's, so it's all over the place. So again, I would remove myself for a week or two in December at the start of December, because it was like, well, that's when my wedding anniversary is. It was a really nice time to recharge. No one else is going away, so there's heaps of really good accommodation specials. Everyone's thinking Christmas and craziness, and I'm like, see you later, guys. Yeah. This is awesome.
And well, because so December's summer for you too. So is that the factor you feel? Because that's the same with us. The summertime, it's slow.
Yeah, look, summertime can be. So we're in a seaside place. So as soon as Boxing Day came, our town triples. So that was our busiest time, was from Boxing Day to Australia Day, which is the 26th of January. So, and we just, it's massive and we just get absolutely slammed. So I actually asked the staff to not have holidays in that time. I mean, if I would negotiate with them if they needed time off because of family events, then that's fine. But we would really make that quite intentional that was our harvest. You know, that's when we would make hay while the sun shines. You just get in and work your butt off and, you know, you just kind of massage, you know, crazy hours, all that kind of stuff, and then have some time off afterwards to go back to normal, seeing our regulars and things like that. So bearing in mind that data gives us the opportunity to know what seasons we're in our business, and I think that's really important, because then it's like driving. If you can drive 60 k's or 100 k's an hour, but it starts hailing or it's super windy or there's a tree across the road, you have to adjust to the driving conditions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same with this understanding the seasons in our business. You can adjust, just like you said, like you can adjust to go, well, you know what, next year I'm having that week off and it's going to be fabulous and I can't wait, because you'll probably be busier either side of it because our clients don't really go away. The work doesn't go away, mm-hmm. but it does mean we get that break and that pause to be able to reflect and just breathe and enjoy the public holidays everyone else is having. Like, how cool is that as a business owner?
Exactly. Yeah. Pick your own hours. I way back when I started my own little clinic, started noticing those exact same rise and falls. So I don't work the first week of January. One, because from probably starting in a week or two, so mid-late September until the end of December, it's just nuts out here because it's fall. We have one long weekend holiday between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so everyone's completely burnt out. The cold makes everyone miserable, so everybody's trying to use up all their benefits. It's just crazy, and I noticed that by the first week of January, I'm like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to see people. So I take that week off. I also find that's the first week everyone's sort of getting their lives back together to go back to work. So nobody has time for a massage. Everybody just wants to get their kids back in school and all of that kind of thing. I didn't actually realize that I was doing that sort of thing until a few years ago, actually. I would just notice, be like, oh, why am I here all week when I only have one person a day? And I just call up my clients, be like, do you want to come on Tuesday at 5 instead of Thursday at 5? Like, does that work for you? And clients be like, oh yeah, I don't care. And I'm like, oh, why don't I just do that? And then if Tuesday gets full, then I'll just fill Thursday instead. So I started doing that a few years back. But what I found interesting is that when you do take holidays, I never found that it actually, you work necessarily any less. I don't know if that's something that, right? Like, it's like, oh, like in these 2 weeks, I would do, let's just say 30 hours of hands-on. If it was slow, let's just say so slow, like 15 hours. If I just worked the 1 week and you shove it all in there, you still did the exact same hours in 1 week instead of two, but you got to take a whole week off. So it's a cumulative of the whole month or even a whole quarter of a year as opposed to like one single week, which I think we all get really stuck on, right?
It's, and you're so right that it is, we're here for a good time and a long time. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yes.
And it can be so easy to get stuck in that 1 week, oh, you know, a kind of mindset. But you're right, when we look at it over a year, it's actually, it's so much easier to move. And I remember talking to a dry cleaner here, and I said, oh, you know, you're having some time off for holidays, public holidays. And he's like, yeah, but my work doesn't stop. You know, people need their coats dry cleaned regardless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
And I think being able to look at those things, like Heather, you're talking about your plateau, you know, just being able to go, okay, so if you've got a plateau, what do you do? Like, it's great to know all this data, to know, great, you know, we've got, this is what happens, is kind of our business seasons of ups and downs and winter and summer and things like that. Great. Even knowing school holidays, if you know that school holidays are going to be quieter for you, either take a week off and hang with your kids, or look at what can you do for the couple of weeks leading up to school holidays to market to teachers. You know, like using this data to actually change the way we're thinking and the actions we're doing is important. Mm-hmm. Getting through a plateau, particularly if you've already got momentum, I think is kind of cool because if you've got a bunch of people that you've already built rapport with. So something that I'll, like a couple little tips that I would suggest to some of our clients. Firstly, is to make a list of 20 people you haven't seen in a while and give them a call. Don't text them, don't send them an email, actually pick up the phone. It doesn't weigh 400 kilos and call them. Because and pick 20. And don't stop until you've called them. So time block, give yourself a couple of hours to go, I'm just going to put my big girl undies on and I'm just going to call them all and have a conversation. By the time you've called 10, you'll probably have a couple of bookings. And often that's enough to make you feel like, oh, see, they don't hate me. That's so good. Because we just have this weird thing where we have that, it's like everybody hates me. I think I'm going to worms. It does, we don't really say that, but we can kind of feel, as you said, like down on ourselves about this. It's like, but I like seeing 20, you know, 10 or 15 clients a week, and now I'm only seeing 5, and this is not cool. So just call people, especially if it's been a busy season in terms of kids going back to school and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How many times do we not even realize it's been 6 months since we had a haircut or a waxing appointment or an appointment ourselves until you were back and go, oh my gosh, it's been 6 months. Give them a call and come from the same place energetically that you would if they were in the treatment room. So if you think about the energy you have when you go into the treatment room, yeah, where you love them, you care for them, you nurture them, you support them, that may not be the language or your vernacular for that, but it is what we do essentially with our clients, is we take beautiful care of them, we build rapport, we do the assessments, we do all the things. If you think about taking that energy onto the call with you, it's less like, I'm really quiet and I need you to come in because otherwise I won't be able to pay my rent, which is how it often feels. And more like, I want to care for you in this call as much as I do in the treatment room. And often just having that switch. Imagine if you were sick and you go see your doctor and the doctor, you know, does their thing. And then you go in like a couple of weeks later, you get a call. Hey, I just want to check in. How are you feeling? You know, did the medicine help? Are you going okay? Would you be feeling like, oh my gosh, that doctor is so bossy and he's just looking for my business? Or yeah. Would you be more feeling like, wow, that doctor actually cares? Like, just never, actually, I've had one doctor call me once, which I really appreciated. But in, you know, 40 something years now, never really experienced that very often. And it's certainly, if we can do that, then often people will feel that energetically. And so the first couple of calls might sound something like this. Hi, it's Leisha here. Mm-hmm. And I just want to see how you go. Okay, yep, bye. Because you just kind of, it is a bit scary and daunting.
Yeah.
But if you, action precedes clarity, the first couple you're going to stumble over your words and it's going to be a bit awkward and you're going to feel uncomfortable until someone goes, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you called. I've been meaning to call you and I haven't got in touch at all. And this is fantastic. I'm so glad you're on the other end of the call now. This is wonderful. Yes, please. When have you got a spot for me?
Right.
And all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, this is good. Oh, that's when you want to call the next few people because you're already in a good state and take that energy with you. And that's why I think time blocking and having a list of 20 and calling them all and just saying, I'm not leaving this until it's done. Your phone doesn't weigh 500 kilos, give them a call. So that's number one. If you're having hitting a bit of a lull and you're like, oh, I've just had a very couple low weeks, give your clients a call because often they love you and they've just forgotten and they need to come back in, but they just haven't had that trigger. Some other things you can do is like things like sending emails or even just reminding people of your appointment availability, you know, doing it. I know a lot of people do it as a pinned post or even part of their stories through social media as well. It's like,
I do that a lot.
If you have 25 appointments available, you don't need to put every single one. But let's say you have a few spots tomorrow, you've got a few gaps, just go out and say, look, you know, hey guys, I've had a cancellation at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Who wants it? They don't have to know that you've got 25 other appointments available, but that scarcity sounds like, oh, really? Are they booking up? Okay, well, I better get in. And sometimes it's just that trigger, that mental trigger to be reminded to come back in. Marketing is all about communication. So really all you're doing is communicating what you have available and teaching them. And that's sort of a couple of ideas that you can do. Firstly, to get clients back in, calling those that you haven't seen for a while. And that's usually the most scary. And I always reckon just hit the most scariest thing first because you learn so much. We call it the path of most resistance to get straight to the top. And I think it's great to get outside your comfort zone, but then also using social media to kind of connect with clients who again, might have just forgotten and need to come in.
But going back to what you're saying with the emails and everything, I'm not one to jump on the phone and call somebody. I know what you mean by that, of feeling like uneasy and not like, I don't want to do that. But I do on my Instagrams, usually in the stories, if I have something, especially a cancellation, I'll throw it up there. I do have a cancellation email list because Notaro is going to be coming out with some sort of automated emailing situation. So right now I use MailChimp and I have like, if you want to sign up for my cancellation list, it's like, if I have a last minute cancellation, it automatically will, I'll send an email saying, hey, this is available. You can click my link down below and book online yourself or shoot me an email. Cause my clients know I'm very accessible through email. I'm more accessible through email than I am through phone call. Cause I'm always in the treatment room or I'm not in the clinic and I'm running around here or something. And I also, my other thing that I kind of suggest to other therapists do is I do a monthly newsletter in a sense. I try not to bog anybody down, but it's, here's my next month coming up. This is what the dates look like. This is what my schedule looks like. You can always book online. I think booking online is a big helpful system for people that don't have a receptionist like Nicole and I. And, you know, here's some changes that are coming down, especially with COVID. Here's some updates. I might put in like a little video I found on YouTube of like how to breathe better, or, you know, just information of like wellness stuff. And I usually throw a couple quotes in there. And it's, again, I find when I send that email out, I get more bookings pretty quickly. Like I'll have a few bookings right after that. So yeah, definitely. I hear what you're saying.
Doing those, like we know when we did our, when we sent our email newsletter, we would get at least 10. I mean, having said that, we did have a big team. So there was a lot of, you know, appointments available and things like that. But again, this is where the statistics are really helpful, because you can know, well, if I send that email once a month, and what you're talking about is what we would call a warm, you know, like you're warming them up and you're just keeping them loyal and you're telling them what you want them to do. And that's some really good things to do with marketing. And one of the ways that we often talk about, you know, there's the low hanging fruit that you can use to get new clients in is if you have some availability bookings, or if you've got some amazing stretches that you have that you've done some videos of, put that as a post on something like Facebook and then share it into community groups. You can easily just search for your community groups through Facebook. That's your just local postcode, zip code, wherever you are, and share some really valuable content. And if you're not sure what to do, search through those groups and ask, what do people ask? And it could be, I've just moved to the area and I'm looking for a massage therapist, or I've just started running and my knee's really sore. Does anyone recommend anything? Or I've got a daughter who's doing dance. And honestly, if you want to be super cool, write a quick blog post or do a video on that, share it to the group and go, hey guys, I just saw this and I've just made this, you know, makes you look really smart and really cool and it's not that tricky. But what tends to happen is the person who originally commented probably will never contact you, but all the other people who see it are like, wow.
So yeah, I really like that, especially like when people are specifically looking for something. I just find, I don't know, I we've been talking about it a little bit lately, going through seasons two of people reaching out for, well, solicitation basically. And so that's always my fear, especially since we work alone at the clinic together, is sometimes like when you're putting into these groups, or like one thing that we were doing is putting a post on Kijiji because of how Kijiji and Google work together, especially here in Canada. But I just found I was getting so many people soliciting me that I just kind of stopped, because I was like, and that's one reason, like I might reach out and call an existing client to come back, but I don't like to take phone calls from like cold calls. I'd rather discuss initial treatments through email, because I find people are not going to reach out through email with that and try to solicit you, because then it's on paper, right? Mm-hmm. So that's always like my concern with like the Facebook groups and stuff, and especially with how Facebook is now, where I find Facebook is. But yeah, that's just my feeling on it personally.
I think I found that with doing it through Facebook, because I'll put this out there, I'm really terrible with like social media. Like my business is really terrible online now, just because I've went from doing the 25 magical hours a week to scaling it all the way back to doing only 12 or 15 because of having kids. So I'm at the point where I'm trying to like figure out how to like make hours that don't exist at the clinic. But I did use Facebook, and I found that when you comment on a specific post about someone looking for, say, their kid with dance, you can kind of filter through people, because most people aren't getting back to you for no reason at all. Like they usually mention that they saw you somewhere, or like, oh, my daughter's in dance. So it already kind of does that, because when you're specifically making posts to those types of things and targeting, like you're not generally going to get like someone being like, oh, like soliciting you from those types of scenarios, right? So I do find that pretty good. I never post in just like random open book forums for like a city being like, oh, like I'm a new massage therapist in town. I never did that just because I found it to be too much. Although my husband wanted me to, I was like, you don't understand the dynamics of who's going to call me in that scenario. So I agree with that. That was something I did. But I will say this too, because I didn't mention earlier, even 12 years out, I still have like slow times. Like I randomly the other week, were you saying those Tetris weeks? I think my whole week, I think I had 15 people booked and I changed 10 appointments out of the 15. It was the most ridiculous thing. So I think a lot of RMTs, when they're in it 5-6 years, they're still wondering why this is happening. It's just what will happen in business. People move, people come back, people's kids get older, their schedules change. People get better. They don't feel they need to come as often because we're doing it good, and they don't need to come every 3 weeks. They now feel they can come every 5 or 6 weeks, or their benefit package change, right? So they go from being able to having a set amount of money to having less, or that kind of thing. So this is something that RMTs and people in business have to routinely like go in and kind of go with the flow. So I think that was the biggest thing I found being in business, is that once you think you got it, that's when you have to start like relearning and taking a coaching or figuring that out. Cause I will say I'm completely lost when it comes to social media. So that would be something like with you, like I'd be like, please teach me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Look, social media, I think, is like, it's a bit like it's like learning, like we learn Latin to learn our anatomy, right? Mm-hmm. And when we first start, whether it's 2 years ago, 12 years ago, 21 years ago for me, I still remember opening up my book and seeing sternocleidomastoid, a 17-letter word, and I thought, oh, I'm dead. I'm dyslexic. Like, that's just, and my anatomy teacher was absolutely hell-bent on none of his students would be lazy and use acronyms. Like, how rude's that, man? Like, it's just rude. Mm-hmm. Social media and business and anything we have to do is a strategy similar to that. If you've learned Latin to know your clients and understand anatomy, you can learn social media. It comes down to why, you know, for yourself, like if you're fully booked and you're, you know, got clients coming through the roof and you're like, I don't need many new clients, then you probably don't need to go and mine the depths of every Instagram, Facebook element of everything, because you're just going to be like, have more clients than you need. However, if you're noticing some gaps, it's always good to have a couple of ways that you can attract clients in that you know work for you and are safe for you. So if you don't have those, then you want to learn enough social media to be able to utilize it super effectively when you need it. And I think of marketing like turning on a tap, that you don't need a full faucet of water going all the time. Turn it on when it's a quiet week, turn it off when it's not, and boom, you're done. If you're hitting a plateau or you're seeing those weeks go up and down, or you're just starting out, very different. You actually do need to be able to turn a lot more taps on, which is why we teach our clients probably between 50 and 100 ways to market their business, because there's no one perfect way. There's a lot of similar ways, but there's lots of things that will work for different people, again, based on their own, you know, how safe do they feel putting themselves out in a Facebook group or not, or using social media or using Instagram or using Facebook, or, you know, are they going to start doing TikToks, and, you know, like what platform is going to work for them, and where are they at in terms of why they need those things. And I think that understanding why is super important. Not that everybody needs to know that all the ins and outs of Facebook, but it's good to be able to know what it is you need in order to be able to run your business from there successfully, or Instagram or any of the other platforms.
Yeah, for sure. I find where I myself, and when I've talked to other practitioners as well about using social media, because again, it's free marketing, it's free advertising. Why would you go and pay for audio, like radio ads or commercials or print anymore, when you have this free and everybody's on it all the time? But you keep hearing about all these, the algorithm, you have to break the algorithm, how to hack the algorithm, all the changes that keep coming down. And you can, when you're on it a lot, you can get caught up in that. I find I do. And that's when I know I have to take breaks and put on my phone. I have like a wellness thing where I shut it down after 20 minutes a day. I can't go back into the app. But I find you get stuck in that. And then when I take my break, I remember, wait, like those algorithm hacks are for people wanting to get hundreds of thousands of followers, tens of thousands of followers, millions. I don't want that. I can't serve that many people. So I have to like check myself. And I'm like, I think I'm right now just over 1,000 on my work account. And I'm like, that's good. A lot of those are colleagues, but that's fine, because that's also a source of referral. Mm-hmm. If I'm putting out educational things where I'm talking about how, you know, some breathing exercises or how to stretch this appropriately, my colleagues are going to see that. And then they're going to also trust me more. And then they're going to refer, whether that's from, you know, I have naturopaths following me, to chiropractors, to physios, to other massage therapists, to psychotherapists and counselors, right? I have even them referring to me. So I think that's an important part where people can get over maybe that social media hump of how scary and intimidating it is you don't need that many followers. You don't have to hack the algorithm.
Look, I think the algorithm is really just, it's like a fire. You know, if you just, like you were saying, Nicole, like you don't need a bunch of clients. Really, you've just got a nice fire that you could toast marshmallows on. And if you need to stoke it up a little bit to maybe cook some snags or sausages or something, you just add a couple of logs on and that's all you'd need. Like it's not that huge. If you're just starting out, then you're going to have to work the fire a bit more. You know, you've got to put sticks and you've got to put leaves and you've got to make sure it's got oxygen and then make sure that it's got an ignition and it's actually a light. If you want hundreds of clients, you need a raging inferno, which means a lot more effort, a lot more energy to burn, all that kind of stuff. So really, the algorithm on Facebook or on any of the social media platforms or even marketing in general is relational to the propensity that you want to market your business and the size of the fire that you need. You know, and I think that that's, you're right. You don't need to 5 million followers in order to be able to be successful on social. Really, minimum is like get yourself 50 or 100 followers. Done. That's plenty because it's enough called social proof. For if someone comes to you, it's not like, oh no, they're just starting out. It's like, oh, okay, that's fine. It doesn't detract from the amount of trust that you can build through utilizing social media.
That's awesome. I was going to ask, like, with your coaching and all of that, you start with people who are like completely flat, like starting out, like have nothing. I'm interested in that because I actually don't even have a business Instagram. I'm not even going to lie. And I was just telling my spouse yesterday that I probably should do that because I have like, so from this podcast, I weekly get so many people trying to follow my personal Instagram because of the podcast. I'm like, what is happening? Why are all these people? And then it dawned on me like, oh my gosh, these are like massage like podcast listeners like trying to follow me because they have questions, and I'm like, I'm completely neglecting just this like hobby guest piece. And then my husband's like, yeah, you need to start one. I'm like, but I only have time to keep my own personal Instagram up to date. And like even right now I was telling Heather my phone is broken, like I can't even post anything on Instagram. So like I'm like 20 years behind on all of this. So I think you and I need to have a chat after the podcast. But my point was that you can be 12 years in and still be at ground zero with like having no actual social media presence or marketing presence at all, right? Because a lot of times like we find like there's a lot of RMTs who've been like with me, like a lot of the RMTs I know, they don't have a whole lot of any of that because we started in the day where it was just like literally word of mouth referral. And that's no longer the way at all to start a business. And why not use what the tools we have? So, I'm interested in like that whole world. I'm just totally 100% intimidated by the entire thing. So that's very true because I feel like I'm gonna get this huge raging inferno all of a sudden. That's not even what I'm looking for, which is why I haven't started. But knowing that I can like scale it to where I would actually like feel comfortable with is something I didn't really actually think about. So yeah, thanks for that.
Instagram is something that I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram. Facebook, I love. It's easy. It's super fun. And I think of it like it's like a ute. You can throw anything on it. Nothing really bad happens. Mm-hmm. Whereas Instagram, it's like, oh, hashtag everything has to be perfect. And I'm just not – I sometimes wish I was a perfectionist because I'm really not. And I'll just throw anything at it. And I'm like, it has to look pretty and all this. And I really wrestled and dragged my feet up for a long time around Instagram because I'm like, all these people are away. I'm like, I'm 40. I'm a massage therapist. I don't do perfect or pretty stuff. And one of my best friends is a wedding stationer. So her Instagram feed is like gorgeous. I'm like, how do I compete with that as a massage therapist? Like nothing in my clinic looks as good as one post that she does of a beautiful wedding feast table or something. I'm like, don't compare yourself, stay in your own lane. That's not helping because now I still don't know what to post. And I really had to, you know, I said to her, oh, I just hate Instagram. It's not for me because I just don't fit in. She was like, oh, cool story. How's it working for you? I'm like, shut up. So she really challenged me to kind of get to know it. And I have learned a lot around Instagram. I did courses, I looked at other feeds, and, you know, it's certainly, it changes more, and it's much more like Facebook. You can do a lot of automation, whereas Instagram, it's possible to automate it, but it's still, you've got to post your stories, you can do reels, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's still very a manual process. What it means is that you don't actually have to, again, post every day and be doing all these things. You can do it to the capacity you want, but really, like, first thing is get an Instagram account. Second thing is create 9 tiles, so at least it looks like it has something on it. And then every week when you do a podcast, just, you know, when you release it, make sure someone, not necessarily you, but someone, anyone can just post to that, so that it's out there, and boom, you've got, you know, occasionally when you think, oh, hey, we're podcasting today, quick, snap a photo of yourself at the desk with the microphones and everything. That's a story done. Like, it actually doesn't have to be really complicated and overwhelming, and you can get used to it. We use this term all the time, action precedes clarity. The more that you utilize and become more comfortable with a platform, the easier it is to then go, oh, what's that thing? Hey, look, we look really cool when we click to the left and there's like a filter on us. Look at us go. I had no idea. I had no many wrinkles. You know, like, there's so many things you can play with that's fun. But until you actually use the platform, it's going to feel like that 17-letter word, sternocleidomastoid, that's just kind of complicated, clunky, and super hard and overwhelming. But as soon as you go, oh, it's just that one there on the side of the neck, and it's a contralateral rotator, and, oh, actually, wow, check out those trigger points. Oh, look at me go. Someone comes in with whiplash. What's the first muscle I go to? Oh, yeah, that one. Ha. Huh. And all of a sudden you understand and you know how to use the muscle, just like you do social media.
Love it. That was great. I can totally get behind that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one thing I found too, is you can also get bogged down in like, okay, I need to create content. And like, even with, like you're saying, sternocleidomastoid, like, you could go on for days probably about like what its actions are, its insertions, its origins, what conditions it's involved in. Like, and so I find as like a massage therapist, because you're kind of using that all the time, that's a lot of information. But even just talking about the SCM, you could break that down into a week's worth of posts. It's breaking it down, because also on Instagram, you don't want to throw so much. If you have a really long caption, people aren't going to read it. I don't. And sometimes I'm bad for writing long captions. And then I'm like, nobody's going to read this. What am I doing? And it's kind of, I also want to say at the bottom, like, if you read this, leave this comment. Yeah. And I'll give you a prize, right? Like, if you made it through this. But once I wrapped my head around that, I found that really helpful too. Like, really break it down. And I'm still learning and still struggling with that. But it's I think sometimes as massage therapists, because we're always wearing so many hats, that we try to overcomplicate it and we forget how to simplify it again. So, yeah, I love it. The other one I was thinking of, and I don't know if you've touched on it or have this in your course at all, but I've been thinking about posting on Pinterest too, because it's a search engine. And even if it's educational things, it will still draw people, and you can still throw up like, I'm taking appointments or things like that. I don't know if you use that at all. Do you have any info on that?
Not really, but I certainly use it myself for searching similar kind of things. Yeah, you absolutely can. And it's just a matter of going, well, where are my clients hanging out? And if your clients are hanging out on Pinterest, hang out with them there. If they're hanging out on Instagram, hang out with them there. If they're hanging out on Facebook, hang out with them there. If they're hanging out at referrals, then hang out with them there. Like, wherever your clients are, wherever they live, that's where you want to play. And I think that's probably a really important take-home message, because it doesn't have to be 15 different platforms, but it can be if that's what you love and you hang out there. You've got heaps of storyboards, you've got health ones, you've got, you know, clinic ones, and fantastic. Utilize that super well.
Perfect. Well, now we've talked about your course a few times. Do you want to let us know what that's more about, what it's called, and how people can find it?
Sure. So we have a course called Fully Booked Bootcamp, where we do help people. It's an 8-week course where we help people to be able to get fully booked and not get burnt out. We do that through an online program, and we utilize like live calls and stuff like that through it as well. And so, yeah, you can go to massagechampions.com to find out more. We also have a short Instagram course, and we are, yeah, we've got courses that we work with therapists at all different levels, but mainly the one that people will contact us about is being able to, how do I get fully booked, how do I get clients in the door, and not get burnt out in the process. And so that's what we love to be able to help therapists do.
Oh, that's so awesome. Wonderful. Well, is there anything that you wanted to go over that we haven't, that we've maybe missed?
Our tea. I'm so excited to talk about tea.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely want to do our tea.
Yeah. All righty. So what have you been drinking over there in Australia?
So I've been drinking dandelion chai tea. It's like dandelion tea, so no caffeine, and it's got chai through it. So I just, I call it a cup of hug because it just tastes like a hug as it's going down. It's so warm and delicious.
I love that.
That's fantastic. And dandelion is supposed to be really, has some really good like wellness effects too, I've been reading lately. So
yeah,
I don't remember what they're off the top of my head, but
it is. I went to see a nutritionalist last year in 2020, and that was one of the first recommendations he made, was switch your tea to dandelion. And I just found dandelion chai tea, and it's meant to be really good for your kidneys and really good for your, bladder and all the things. And less caffeine is meant to be very good for you as well. But you know, if I'm not drinking that, it's usually coffee, so I'll kind of take the good with the bad.
That's awesome. Balance.
Yes,
all about the balance. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Heather, I'll let you tell everyone what I'm drinking, because technically we're together and I'm at your house and you made me a tea from your ginormous collection. So I'll let you tell them what I'm drinking.
Alrighty, yeah, we'll have to post some pictures again on Instagram following Alicia's instructions and advice, because we're in my house in my spare room. It's partly my craft room, but also it's going to be our new podcast recording studio-ish. We got some candles going. We were supposed to have two computers set up. I'll try to have that figured out in the future. We had some issues. Hopefully our listeners will have, they'll never know, hopefully. So anyways, Nicole is drinking an apple cider rooibos, which I actually didn't tell her where it's from. It's actually from Bulk Barn, which is like a wholesale bulk food store here in Ontario and I believe across Canada. And they have some teas, and I bought that, I think, last summer. It was on sale, so I bought it. It's a really nice fall tea for us.
It's delicious. FYI. It's delicious.
She's loving it. And then I'm drinking, it's a David's tea. It's actually from their Halloween collection last year. It's called Magic Potion. So it's a color-changing blue raspberry. It's got, I don't know, Alicia, if you've ever had any teas that have, it's a butterfly pea flower in it. And so when you first steep it, it's blue. And then if you add like any sort of like citrus, or actually I was with some friends last night and they were drinking a gin and tonic, and the gin was had butterfly pea flower. And so as soon as they added the tonic, it went from blue to purple. So yeah, it was really cool.
That's cool. What?
Yeah. So there, that's our teas. So thank you so much. And thank you for bearing with us through our technical difficulties. Hopefully, again, our listeners will have no idea until they get to this point and then go, what? What are you talking about?
Heather's great with the editing, so they probably have no idea. So
perfect. And so again, if you want to share again where people can maybe find you and find your course.
You can follow us on Instagram at Massage Champions, and you can find us at massagechampions.com. We would love to connect with anyone who feels like they need a bit of extra support in figuring all this business side of things out.
That's wonderful. I'm definitely going to be checking it out. Like I said, hopefully get over this little hump, to your hump, maybe it is. Who knows? But it's been really great, and I feel like I've really connected with you, and I love the genuineness, vibe, and energy I'm getting from you with this. And so, yeah, I think that's also very key when you're trying to find somebody, a coach or somebody to connect with, how you just vibe and the energy from them. So, yeah, thank you for sharing yourself and your platform and everything, and hopefully we'll chat and check in with you again in the future.
Would love that. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And until next time, we'll see you later.